Hello, everyone. Thank you again for listening as we worship today. Happy Father's Day. Today we celebrate loving Christian fathers. We hope this is a day of celebration for our families and a day of loving celebratory memory of our fathers who have gone to be with the Lord. As we worship today, let us be reminded that our Heavenly Father loves us and blesses us and desires for our relationship with Him to grow ever deeper. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving Lord, we celebrate the gift of loving Christian fathers. We celebrate even more the love that you, our Heavenly Father, has bestowed on us and continues to lavish upon us. We continue to ask for your intervention in the various struggles of our nation. We know it breaks your heart. We ask for your healing touch for every physical, emotional, and spiritual struggle. You are faithful. Thank you for your love, your blessings, your faithfulness. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Sally will now play I'm Dwelling in Beulah Land and Just a Little Talk with Jesus in loving memory of her father as she would sit on the piano bench as a child as her dad played these songs at her request. scripture lesson is Genesis chapter 27, verses 26 through 29, and verses 41 through 45. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near me and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." But the words of her elder son Esau were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Your brother Esau is consoling himself by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran and stay with him for a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger against you turns away and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I am constantly amazed at the relevance of the Bible. Through events that occurred thousands of years ago in cultures alien to ours, God still speaks directly to us. Many of the customs of our spiritual ancestors seem archaic to us. Today's passage is a case in point. Rebekah guides Jacob through a series of tricks and deceits so that Isaac blesses Jacob rather than Esau. It was believed that the words said by the father over the child, usually the eldest son, actually determined the success or failure of a child's life. The blessing of the father was believed to be as powerful as the words of the prophet. In the Old Testament prophetic tradition, when the genuine prophet of God spoke, the ramifications of those words were set in motion. The blessing of the father was believed to possess the same power. Further, once spoken, the blessing could neither be duplicated nor revoked. In this tradition, the eldest son received the best blessing, with the other children receiving basically what was left over. Such are the dynamics of our scripture lesson. At first reading, this mindset may sound indeed strange, almost superstitious. But I wonder if it is. Obviously, parents today do not pronounce blessings or curses over their children as in the Old Testament. I propose to you, however, that emotionally and spiritually, children still seek the blessing of their parents. Perhaps a more current way to relate the concept of blessing is to think in terms of approval. Many adult children are perpetually frustrated as they never sense the blessing or approval of their parents. Even adults who are raising their families, or adults who may even now be grandparents, spiritually and emotionally crave the blessing of their parents. The blessing of the parent is to know one is in their parents' favor. The most common affirmation of this is when parents send the crystal clear message They are proud of their children. Needless to say, the success or failure of children will greatly depend upon their self-esteem, which will greatly depend upon whether they sense their parents' blessing. In the account of Jacob and Esau, we see how Jacob stole the blessing of his father Isaac. And if you continue to read the story, you'll discover that Jacob seemed to have the Midas touch. Regardless of what life threw at him, Jacob landed on his feet. Every business venture was a success. His family became the nation of Israel. Esau, on the other hand, upon receiving the leftover blessing, which bordered on a curse, became embittered. And his rage is recorded in Genesis 27:41. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father Isaac had given him. He said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Eventually, Esau worked through his anger and even extended forgiveness to Jacob. For many years, however, the brothers were estranged because of the importance of the blessing of their father. Is life so different today? True, regardless of the diligence of the parent, there is no guarantee of the type of adult that child will become. The parent can, however, enhance or hinder the child's potential of being spiritually and emotionally healthy and productive adults. If our children are secure in their knowledge of our love for them, regardless of the level of accomplishments according to society's terms, we have enhanced their chances. If our children know that we genuinely believe in them, we have enhanced their chances. If our children know we trust them, we have enhanced their chances. Is this not how our Heavenly Father relates to us? If we read the Bible, we will find that God indeed has high expectations. We also see that God's love surpasses those expectations. The Bible instructs that God loves us regardless of our present character. The Bible instructs that God believes in us, or God would not have entrusted us with God's mission. When I can remember this, I am inspired to be the best I can be. Yet there is also an internal struggle. There are those nagging questions. Am I good enough? What is good enough? What does God think of me when I mess up? Is God mad? Is God disappointed? Is there a time that God will just give up on me? I hope none of you have ever struggled with those questions. But I would not be honest with myself, with God, or you if I did not admit that I do from time to time. Of course, in my head, I know all of the right answers. I know the answers that I would give if asked in a Sunday school class or similar setting. I know the answers that I would offer one who asked me those questions about what God thinks of them. So yes, in my mind I know. But I'll confess that in my spirit and emotions, there are times when I struggle with such questions. And there's a possibility I'm not the only one. Any of us that contend with this struggle are seeking the blessing of our Heavenly Father. What can we do? What must we do to make God proud of us? We already know the answers. But it is so hard sometimes to internalize them. The way we internalize them is to allow the Holy Spirit to move that which we know in our minds to our hearts. And the Holy Spirit does so by reminding us of what we have been told and of what we know and what we are called to believe. And to believe is to believe such that our belief becomes the basis and motivation of not only what we do, but also the motivations of our attitudes and our emotions. We first remember perhaps the most familiar verse in the Bible, and also the less often quoted verse immediately following. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Try to let that sink in. Maybe you need to read it. Maybe you need to recite it out loud. Maybe you need to read it and recite it and think about it and pray over it. Whatever you need to do, let it sink in. God loves us. God loves you. God's love is so deep and so intense for you and me that Jesus was sent to reveal God and to atone for our sins. Don't miss verse 17. God is not wanting to condemn the world, which includes you and me, but God desires our salvation. Before we ever thought about loving and serving God, God had already loved us. John would write in one of his letters, 1 John 4:10, "And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins." We are loved by God because love begins with God. We do nothing to earn that love. Paul reminds us in that familiar passage from Romans 8:21-26, "But now, irrespective of law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously had committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus." We internalize in our heart what we know in our mind as we are reminded that love started with God, and through Jesus, God gave God's self for our redemption. And that's not all. In Romans 8:15-17, Paul declares, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. And in Galatians 4, 6 through 7, Paul declares, "And because you are children of God, God has sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, also an heir through God." Is it too much of a stretch to hear God saying something like this? Stop your worry. Before you ever gave me a thought, I loved you, and I still do. Jesus already paid the price for your sins. Stop trying to be good enough. If you love me, I know you're doing the best you can, and it's through the Holy Spirit's strength, power, and guidance that you will become more like Jesus. Because I love you and Jesus died for you, stop seeing yourself as a slave trying to earn the favor of a master. You are my child, and therefore an heir to the glory of God. If you have been trying to earn the favor of God, be encouraged that we have already received the blessing of our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you that you have already blessed us. Thank you, through Jesus Christ, you have already paid the price for our sins. Yet, gracious Lord, you know human beings. You know us, your children. Lord, it's so easy to forget the blessing you have already given. It is so easy to fall into the trap of trying to do enough, to be good enough, for you to be proud of us. Thank you that you've already blessed us. And we know that. May the knowledge and the assurance of the blessing of our Heavenly Father that is in our minds move to our hearts, so that we will love you, we will serve you, we will be the best we can, not because we're seeking your favor, but because you've already given it. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away. The wounds which mark the chosen bring many unto glory.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.